I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
He is not going to leave the White House. He does not want to leave the White House. He will not leave the White House. Anybody thinks he'll do this, he'll do that. It's just deluding themselves, the Republicans most of all, because they know, but they're going along with it. It's a classic bully situation. We see it, and there's no other to face a bully. You have to face him and fight it out and back him off and back him down. That's the only way this is going to work.
That is the opinion of Robert De Niro saying Trump is not going to leave the White House. You're going to have to blow it apart to get him out of there. This all goes back to the No Kings rally over the weekend. Trump is a king, or at least thinks he is. And he's not going to leave the White House. With all due respect to you who believe that what he said is correct, you are a total fool. Trump will leave the White House when his term is over. Did you hear me? You want to bet money against me? Come on in. I'll take everything you got. Believe me. Trump will leave the White House at the end of the term if something doesn't happen to him before. Oh, yeah, that hunting stand found near the airport down in Florida where his plane lands. They're still looking at it. They don't know that it has anything to do with anyone plotting to kill the president or if it was exactly what it appears to be, a hunting stand. But it had a clear sight to where the plane lands, so certainly it could have been used for that as well. But they have no additional details that warrant mentioning at this point. And, yeah, there are a lot of folks out there that would, just like they did with Charlie Kirk, would take great joy in seeing the president of this nation assassinated. How sick do you have to be to want that? Even though I did not like a lot of what Obama did, nor Biden, I would never want that kind of reaction or rather response to their policies and their acts. Assassinating the president of the United States? And keep in mind, the same people that would buy into that idea, that think it's just fine, and thought it was just fine and almost hilarious that Charlie Kirk was shot down, they're the same ones who say Trump wants to control everything and be the king. If they're willing to go to the extent of assassination and endorsing it, applauding it, cheering it, they're the ones making us a banana republic where you're going to have a king. Welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors, USA. Yep, every hour we come out of the box just like a bull loose from the gates with a rider on. Boy, we're charging out. You better hold on. And I remind you, with Larry Connors, USA, you do get news, analysis, opinion, and education. You will know more at the end of this hour than you do right now, I will guarantee you. And here we are on October 2025. We're nearing the end of this year. Can you believe it? And I'll remind you also, if you have a phone, you have us in your pocket. That phone is your radio. You download the Newstalk STL app, and you can use it to listen wherever you are. Wherever you are, you open up the app, and you'll hear the program that's on air right now. If you pick another time of day, you'll hear one of our other great programs. You can also use that app to contact us, send information, raise questions, and pull up podcasts, which, again, when we finish this program, it goes up as a podcast at Newstalk STL, LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. But if you want to watch the program live, you can do that right now by going to Newstalk STL Rumble, Facebook, or Twitter. Larry Connors USA Rumble or Facebook. So this big thing we had over the weekend, the No Keynes rally, which is a joke in every way possible. When I listen to some of the interviews that were done in the street to some of those participating, they clearly had no idea really what they were doing. I'll come back to that in a moment. But before that, let's go back to Robert De Niro, who's telling you Trump is not going to leave the White House. Listen to this man.
The original No Kings protest was 250 years ago. Americans decided they didn't want to live under the rule of King George III. They declared their independence and fought a bloody war for democracy. We've had 2.5 centuries of democracy since then, often challenging, sometimes messy, always essential. And we fought in 2 world wars to preserve it. Now we have a would-be king who wants to take it away, King Donald I. That. We're rising up again, this time nonviolently, raising our voices to declare no kings.
Well, actually, you're not really rising up peacefully. A lot of folks are looking for battles in the streets. Now, he was right on his history until he got to the point that, well, now we have a man who would be king. I think De Niro needs to stick to reading scripts. Because when he goes off script, he's not telling you anything that amounts to fact. It's still fiction. He's used to dealing in fiction. That's why he's a great movie star. But I'm telling you, he's looking at this as we got to deal with Trump like we dealt with the bad guys in Goodfellas. He didn't say that, though, did he? But we know there are many out there that are more than happy to see Trump assassinate. They put it on their social post, in their letters to each other, their cards they carry around, the signs. They don't care. And if you deny what I'm saying, you just look at the reaction of some to the death of Charlie Kirk, the head of Turning Point USA. How many people were joyful over it? But MSNBC did a report on the No Kings rally. And one thing they did do correctly, which always chasing the liberal networks, legacy media, they never really cite a source. In this case, they do to the extent that they are putting an allegation in. So they're trying to tell you it's not our statement, but the source they're relying on, I wouldn't rely on that either. They're talking about the number who turned out across the nation. When you hear the number that MSNBC projects, and then you hear who they're quoting as saying it, there's your answer, and it's all a lie.
Yesterday, organizers say nearly 7 million people turned out for the No Kings protests in more than 2,700 cities and towns. That is 2 million more than the last No Kings protests that were held in June. The rallies come as President Trump continues to expand his authoritarian reach, attempting to militarize your cities and target people and institutions that say anything against him. But what we're seeing is a historic moment of unity and opposition to those very actions from people of all ages and backgrounds.
Yeah.
This is the most American thing that you can do, protest and speak for what you believe in.
The people who come out here and fight and who want to resist, those are the people who make change. Those are the people who make history. And there are way more, like I said, there are way more of us than there are of them.
I wore the uniform since I was 18 years old. I never thought I would see this. Never. We have military. I don't care whether National Guards or active duty. Patrolling, turning weapons, if you will, on our citizens. This is democracy. You know, and I never thought I would see it.
Well, now that man's entitled to his opinion. Everyone is entitled to an opinion. And I don't know where he was when that interview was done with him. But I would ask him, did you ever think you would see our nation have so much rampant crime and drugs and illegals running around free to do whatever they want? Can you answer me that? I've not seen that either in my history. And I think you'd have to say the same thing. But they want to point to the troops in the street. Say, I've never seen anything like that. When I told you previously, this is not the first time a president has used National Guard troops to get law and order. The L.A. riots were the last time, I believe. But we've had numerous presidents, Republican and Democrat, use them from time to time. JFK used them to make sure that black school children could get safely into the schools in Alabama. And I think that's correct, because if they were controlled by the state, the kids never would have gotten near the school, because many of the National Guard members and their leadership, they live in the midst of the South. They don't want to put themselves and their own families at risk. They just want to stay out of it. And who wanted to order the National Guard troops to go in and help the kids get in? Governor Wallace stood there at the door blocking it, along with state police and other officers. And that's when Kennedy said, we're sending the National Guard. I'm taking control of the National Guard. And he even sent some federal troops as well. Is it a matter that we will accept the National Guard and federal troops if they're doing what we want at that point? Does that change your view? It shouldn't. It should be the same rule in each case, if you're being honest. Now, there's another word that many on the left do not know. There's a little concern that might be happening in China. You know, we often have G. Gordon Chang on board as an expert of China. He was talking to Maria Bartiromo, and the discussion came up about there might be a leadership change coming in China.
On Friday, there was the extraordinary announcement from China's defense ministry that 9 senior military officers had been investigated and had been removed, including Xi Jinping's number one loyalist in the military, General He Weidong, who was going to be expelled from the party. This is just unprecedented. We don't know where this is going. Xi Jinping could be removed or he could emerge stronger. But in any case, there's going to be a lot of turmoil in the party because people are going to be purged after Thursday, however this goes.
That's amazing. So this could be this week and the quote unquote plenum underway in China. This could be something of a referendum on Xi Jinping's power.
Yes, and that's a really good way to put it, Maria, because really what we have is Xi Jinping, especially over the last 3 or 4 years after COVID, is being blamed for accelerating a lot of China's ills. And there is unhappiness throughout society, throughout the Communist Party, and evidently throughout the Chinese military. Now, what would be more extraordinary than Xi Jinping being deposed? That would be Xi Jinping remaining after this record of failure. So this is going to be fascinating, however it comes out.
And that meeting started today. 4-day meeting, a plenum, as they call it. The Chinese Communist Party 205-member Central Committee meeting in Beijing. And they're talking about discussing China's next 5-year development plan, a roadmap that would outline the country's economic and social priorities until 2030. And, of course, they're also expecting during this meeting Premier Xi to announce he's seeking a fourth term or name someone to replace him. My money is on fourth term. This marks the midpoint of his 3rd-year stint as a president. And there is an unwritten rule the chairman's successor requires at least 2 years to be groomed for the role. No one's been groomed. And Xi Jinping is not going to release his hold at this point. Now, where are the people in China out in the streets yelling, no king, no king, no king? Can you imagine that happening in China? I was going to try to have Gordon Chang on today, but obviously he's been gobbled up by the networks. I'm going to try to book him for tomorrow. So make sure you're with us tomorrow, because if we get him, we'll get more direct answers, not dismissing what Maria Bartiromo is asking, but we'll get into more specifics. In the meantime, something major is happening with making us no longer having to rely on chip processed out of China. NVIDIA Corporation stepping up, bringing everything back to the USA.
This last week was a historic week. We manufactured the most advanced AI chips in the world, in the most advanced fab in the world, here in America for the first time. All of this started with President Trump wanting to reindustrialize the United States. His tariffs was a pressing agent in making this possible at the speed that we're doing. And now, shortly after less than a year, we're now manufacturing the most advanced chips for AI here in the United States. This is just the beginning of it. With the partnership of the supply chain in Taiwan, TSMC is an incredible partner, a strategic partner for the United States in bringing manufacturing of the most critical sector of technology here to the United States. This is just the starting point. Where after that, with Foxconn, Amkor, Spill, Wistron, so many of our other partners, we're going to bring the entire supply chain of building AI infrastructure back here in the United States. By the end of the next 3 or 4 years, we'll probably manufacture, we're on target to manufacture about $500 billion of AI supercomputing technology to be installed here in the United States.
Great, great. All of that is good. You don't hear the Democrats praising it, do you? Amazon late this morning acknowledged it had issues again with its cloud services that power some of the world's most popular apps and sites. They got some recovery, but then it had additional. They still say they don't know yet the source of the issue. They say they narrowed it down. So if you had issues with your Amazon cloud apps and so forth today, Amazon says it's aware of the problem and we've got some of our best people working on it. That's a standard answer, right? Is anybody hacking and messing with it, or is it just blitzing? Coming up, Mondani for mayor of New York City. That will be fun. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to tell you more about Wellington Environmental's dustless blasting services. Wellington can blast paint, grease, graffiti, even stripes off parking lots. Truly amazing and powerful. But can Wellington blast something more sensitive? Yes, Wellington can use dry ice to blast soot and odors off smoke-damaged surfaces right after a fire. Currently, Wellington uses dry ice to clean mold off wood inside a home. Why? Well, dry ice immediately disappears, turns into a vapor. That means no mess to clean up, no damaged surfaces. You need to check with Wellington, always researching and practicing with new, better, faster, safer equipment and products for you. And it's very easy to schedule an estimator for your next project. Call Cindy, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check vincentsjewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's my only jeweler. vincentsjewelers.com. vincentsjewelers.com. Back pain? Follow me to Esquire Sports Medicine, where they've got your back. Esquire is the oldest sports medicine clinic in St. Louis. Dr. Draghi and his team of chiropractors can get you back to work, back to life, without the pain. New patients usually scheduled within 24 hours. 314-644-0885. 644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com.
This is News Talk STL.
I'm racing.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I want to take this moment because you spoke about President Trump, and he may be watching right now, and I just want to speak directly to the president, which is that I will not be a mayor like Mayor Adams, who will call you to figure out how to stay out of jail. I won't be a disgraced governor like Andrew Cuomo, who will call you to ask how to win this election. I can do those things on my own. I will, however, be a mayor who is ready to speak at any time to lower the cost of living. That's the way that I am going to lead this city. That's the partnership I want to build, not only with Washington, D.C., but anyone across this country. I think it's important because too often the focus on the needs of working class Americans, working class New Yorkers are put to the side as we talk more and more about the very kinds of corrupt politicians like Andrew Cuomo that delivered us into this kind of crisis.
Well, there was Mondani over the weekend in a debate with Cuomo and Curtis Sliwa talking about, well, all I'm going to do, I'm not going to be using and calling on Trump. I don't need to. I can do everything myself. And trying to knock Cuomo at the same time, which that's fair game. That's part of the political game anyway. So he's going after what can I do to say to make Cuomo look bad at the same time. Eric Adams, of course, has dropped out of the race. Curtis Sliwa really has no chance of winning anything anyway. He's running as a Republican. But the numbers on the latest survey, or one of them, I should say, this is a Fox News survey, showing Mondami leads with 52% of those surveyed. 52%. Cuomo has 28%, and he's second. Sliwa is way down. And there's still some, I don't know if they think that Mayor Johnson is still running, but he's not, or Adam, but he's not going to get in. He's no longer running. So Mondani is apparently going to be the guy. Andrew Cuomo got questioned about Mondami, and he had a different perspective than what Mondami does. Obviously, this is not unusual that he would, but here we go with Andrew Cuomo.
He is a democratic socialist. And forget the word democratic. He's a socialist. And it's much different than the Democratic Party. And that's why it's a little confusing in this election. And this Democratic Socialist Party has really radical, extreme views. They believe in a socialist economy of Venezuela, Cuba. They're anti-police. Defund the police, abolish jails, do away with misdemeanors. They are really radical and extreme, and that's his base. So he doesn't want to offend the base because they're radical and they're highly disciplined, and they won't tolerate any deviation. On the other hand, it's totally out of step with New Yorkers and mainstream New Yorkers. So he's been trying to have it both ways.
As has Cuomo. Politicians are like that. They're chameleons. They change for what they need to do for the audience they're addressing. Cuomo can put himself some distance between himself and Mondani. And they are that much different that you're not going to get them confused. Mondani, of course, is talking about taking control of all the grocery stores in New York City. Let the state or the city run them. More government is better. Cuomo is the same attitude. He just did not get down to talking about grocery stores. And Mondani, when he calls out what Cuomo did wrong, like sending those who were already sick with COVID and elderly, putting them back in nursing homes, basically putting them on a death count. But Cuomo right now is trying to say, I know how to do things. This guy doesn't know anything. I was sharing with the audience earlier in our first hour, in case you missed it, a piece out of Politico that was a perspective. So this is not a fact. This is like an opinion piece by the writer. Talking about Mondani's ideas have been tried before and worked. I got a little bit into that article then. I want to expand on it. This is written by a guy who said a few years ago, he's a former journalist from Turkey, said a few years ago, I walked into a city-run grocery store in my hometown. It was the spring of 2014, and I was a journalist covering the run-up to municipal elections in Istanbul, a city of 16 million. That's his hometown. He said, I walked into a no-name market in one of the city's low-income districts. Not much to look at from outside. The inside shelves packed with bread, lentils, cheese, oil, few household appliances. Most of the items cheaper brands that I'd never heard of before. Some were from companies happy to donate goods to city stores where they could write them off as losses. Nonprofit stores run by the municipality, only available to households when low income status had been verified. So they were actually verifying if you were low income. You couldn't just come in and get some extra cheese and bread when you could afford it, just get it free. Sounds to me like Istanbul had a better idea of running it than what Mondani is. He just wants to have these stores run by the city. No word about verification of who can use them. The writer goes on to say prices were low. Families received preloaded monthly loyalty cards. They worked at these markets. The balance not tied to wages as a bank account or a bank account. Direct public support. And it's very popular with residents of the neighborhood. No kidding. Istanbul. How does your city compare to Istanbul? Then he goes on to say the city-run market, part of a formula that fueled the rise of conservative populism in Turkey. And Erdogan, the country's current president, came to power as mayor of Istanbul in 1994. And then he established this vast, largely unreported system of urban subsidies and food aid that transformed the grassroots outreach. He says that's the kind of thing that Mondami wants to do in New York City. Affordable grocery stores. Well, who doesn't like an affordable grocery store? Free buses. Yeah. You know, they already have problems with the subways in New York of vagrants and homeless sleeping and living on the trains, the subways, till they get kicked off. Now you're going to have free buses. They'll be going to the buses until they get kicked off there. Controlling rent increases and expanding public services. Well, someone has to pay for this. I'm looking through this article, and I don't see anywhere in here where he says how they were doing it. But he did say, critics are scoffing about Mondani's plans, really. And he did add, everyone seems to agree that free buses, subsidized groceries, and cheaper housing are out of step with America's deeply ingrained faith in the marketplace. It's more than that is, will it work? Well, Robert De Niro, who fancies himself now as a political scientist, was questioned on one of the legacy medias about, what do you think about Mondani coming in?
Seems to be only one candidate in the New York City mayoral race who is willing to do that and who has been critical of President Trump right now. Have you decided who you're voting for yet next month?
I don't know, but I have thought of the thing that I like about Hamdani is that he's young, he's smart, and he means well. You know, he's not a mean person. He's not a bad person. He'll have to make decisions. There'll be compromises, like all politicians, like everybody who is in this position of making decisions that are somebody's not going to be happy. But at the end of the day, I feel that he, I think at this point, I don't know enough yet to go further, but that he will have, he could be somebody.
Did he not talk in circles? Almost like word salad Kamala. Well, I don't really know him, but I think he could be somebody. But I don't really know him. I don't know what he's going to do. But it's possible he could be. Good Lord, man. You do need to stick to scripts. Either clearly say, I don't know enough about him to even comment. Period. But you know, when you're a star and you got legacy media calling on you for political knowledge. I'm not saying De Niro is totally. No, maybe I need to back off. I was going to say, is a total idiot. May I rephrase that? I know some of you out there, and I like the guy for his performances. I recognize it and I appreciate it. But his politics are wacky loony time all the time. Coming up, dealing with Zelensky in the White House, Trump. Peter Ducey has a report on how that meeting went the other day as Zelensky was hoping to walk away with Tomahawk missiles. And then what happens next? Ukraine got questioned, or rather Trump got questioned about Ukraine by Maria Bartiromo in a special over the weekend. We've got that. And Attorney General Letitia James hiding a fugitive in her own house. That's still to come.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
We welcome Tom Shaw Realtors, selling, buying, leasing property all over Missouri, almost 100 years. Call Tom, 314-283-5064, shawrealtors.com. Hey, looking for windows that solve your problems and actually add value to your home? Renewal by Anderson. Anderson products increase your home value by at least 15%. Right now, get $329 off every window, $729 off every patio or entry door, and ask about our zero interest plan for 3 years. Renewal by Anderson, the full-service replacement division of Anderson. That's a name you've trusted for more than 122 years. Renewal by Anderson has FiberX frames, 20% stronger than vinyl, built to last. It's why we have more 5-star reviews than anyone in St. Louis. And only Renewal by Anderson backs it up with the nation's best warranty. Schedule your complimentary consultation, rbastl.com, or call 877-WINDOWS, 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson, superior products, exceptional service. I just checked the events planned at Lit Cigar Lounge, so I'm planning a lot of time there. Top-of-the-line cigars, premium whiskey. Check out litstl.com and join me. Hey, and if we get hungry, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, just a few doors down. We can order from the menu, be at our table within minutes. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley and Lit Cigar Lounge, litstl.com. LeslieConsulting.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Some other guy at you. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We were in the room for a good chunk of today's meeting and everybody was on good terms, but ultimately Volodymyr Zelensky left empty-handed as President Trump urges the Ukrainians and the Russians to stop where they are and then just both claim victory.
I'm the mediator, President.
And after a brief working lunch, the president wrote, the meeting with President Volodymyr Zelensky of Ukraine was very interesting and cordial, but I told him, as I likewise strongly suggested to President Putin, that it is time to stop the killing and make a deal. But as the stalemate drags on, President Trump credits both Zelensky and Putin as strong negotiators.
I think they're both doing a great job. They don't like each other. I say that in front of President Zelensky, but I say it in front of President Putin, too. They have tremendous bad blood.
It does not appear that Zelensky got what he wanted out of today's meeting. American approval to start buying and using long-range Tomahawk missiles against targets deep inside Russia.
We decided that we don't speak about it because nobody wants, United States doesn't want escalation.
President Trump doesn't see the need right now.
Hopefully we'll be able to get the war over with without thinking about Tomahawks.
In fact, what he's looking at is everybody freeze in place based on an interview he gave Maria Bartiromo over the weekend. I'll come back to that in a moment. But since that interview over this last weekend, Trump is playing all over the board. Now, you could say either he's indecisive or he's four or five steps ahead of everyone else and just trying to offer bait, come get this, or realize that if you don't act now, you might be in a corner. To give you a better perspective, let's go first to the interview that Trump had with Maria Bartiromo regarding Ukraine.
During that meeting, did you tell him he needed to cede all of the Donbass region to Russia?
No, we never discussed it. We think that what they should do is just stop at the lines where they are, the battle lines. You have a battle line right now. The rest is very tough to negotiate. If you're going to say, you take this, we take that, you know, there's so many different permutations. So what I say is they should stop right now at the battle lines. Go home, stop killing people, and be done.
What do you think should happen with the Donbass region then?
Let it be cut the way it is. It's cut up right now. I think 78% of the land is already taken by Russia. You leave it the way it is right now. They can negotiate something later on down the line. But I said, cut and stop at the battle line. Go home. Stop fighting. Stop killing people.
Now, I need to correct myself. I said Maria Bartiromo. He did do an interview with her over the weekend, but that was on Air Force One talking about his conversation. And I said he seems to be moving around a little bit. He did say in there that I think that they should stop where they are and just call a halt and get into talks, stop the fighting. He's reinforced in an interview with The Hill, I never discussed Zelensky ceding any region to Putin. Well, they stop where they are. That is what you're doing. You're saying they get to keep Donbass, the territory they've already got. And that is why Russia will continue to gobble up what it can until there's an actual ceasefire signed by all sides. According to The Independent, Trump thinks Kyiv will not win and demands that Zelensky cede land. That happened earlier today. I could not tell you what the ultimate plan is at the point, but Financial Times also earlier today stating Trump urged Zelensky to accept Putin's terms or be destroyed by Russia. And yet at the same time, earlier today, according to Newsweek, Trump says Ukraine can still win with Russia. This is not just the fog of war. This is a total fog of everything. Russia wants to hold on to everything it's got, and if a peace plan is coming, and it might involve holding the land that you have at that point, at that very moment, they're going to grab more at the last. And Ukraine will fight to keep them from doing that. So which is it? Trump never discussed Zelensky ceding region to Putin, which in fact he did, just as you heard then. And Trump urging Zelensky to accept Putin's terms Putin's terms are, I want the Donbass region and more. And Trump stating that Ukraine can still win with Russia. Well, that's just maybe an encouragement. I would have thought the Mideast Hamas issue would have been a more difficult ceasefire to achieve, quite honestly. And that's still shaky. Israeli forces say they were fired upon from Gaza by Hamas with rockets and rifle fire. Then Hamas came out, got word around that, no, what happened is there were no rockets. Some of your troops stumbled upon previous ordnances we'd sent that had not exploded. That doesn't explain the rifle fire, if in fact that happened. Regardless of what the real story is, men, women, and children continue to die. And we do know that Hamas has been carrying out ethnic cleansing of those who do not buy into jihadist Hamas activities inside Gaza, their fellow brothers and sisters who are Palestinian. Meantime, back in this nation, we're still trying to deal with rounding up all the illegals and the battle that is being waged against police and the ICE agents. A progressive Labor Party activist says, protesters, you need to arm yourselves against ICE agents.
You got to grab a gun. We got to turn around the guns on this fascist system. These ICE agents got to get shot and wiped out. This state, the state machinery, that's a full display right there, has to get wiped out.
He basically said you got to get a gun and you got to shoot them. I don't know why the guy's not jailed already on those kinds of charges. That's beyond free speech. That's as if someone at that rally where Charlie Kirk was appearing, someone needs a gun to shoot and kill Charlie Kirk. And then it happened. The Progressive Labor Party, code name, Communist Marxist. The White House Deputy Chief of Staff Dan Scavino says, we're doing everything we can to make cities safer, and especially getting illegals and the gang members out. For instance, like in Chicago, why are they fighting against us?
We'll work with all entities. It is a team effort, and you see it every day. It's an atmosphere of where everybody wants to work together. I tell you, behind the scenes in these cabinet meetings and in these meetings that take place in the Oval, everybody's on the same page, marching in unison to deliver the president's, you know, agenda and his goals in making Washington, D.C. safe again, in making Memphis safe again, Chicago. How can these guys like Chicago, how could they not want to make Chicago safe again? I'll never understand it for the life of me. How these people do not want to work with this administration. And I'm talking Pritzker and I'm talking Newsom. How and why?
How and why? Well, I do know this. According to the latest report, Chicago had at least 18 shot Friday through Sunday morning. From Friday through Sunday morning, 18 were shot. Not sure how many were killed, but they were shot in Pritzker and Johnson's land of greatness. Larry, did that have anything to do with any illegals? I don't know. Does it make a difference? Don't you want peace? Do you imagine that would have happened if there had been National Guard troops in place in the areas or even added police? The left cannot understand, I had to agree with Scavino of the White House Deputy Chief. How can they not want peace? And if it means an officer standing there, that's what we often hear. We need more police, more police, those who want law and order. And we can't afford to have an officer on every corner. But then those who are arrested, charged, facing charges, if we're going to have the leftists come and bail them out or get their bail lowered by sympathetic judges, You're not going to have it. And then you get someone like Attorney General of New York, Letitia James, claiming she's all about law and order. And as you well know, she's facing federal fraud charges for what she did in achieving lower mortgage rates and so forth. But more importantly than that, I would say, there's now evidence she has been hiding a fugitive from justice in one of her homes.
New York's top law enforcer, the self-proclaimed defender of justice, is now neck deep in a scandal straight out of a crime drama. Her own grandniece, a wanted fugitive with a long rap sheet, has been living under Auntie Tisha's roof. The same roof, by the way, now at the center of a federal indictment. So what's James going to say? That she was too busy chasing Trump to notice a fugitive in her own house? Too obsessed with political theater to recognize the real crime scene was on her front porch? This is the woman who went to war over bookkeeping entries, but turned a blind eye to a mother accused of enabling minors, possibly her own children, to commit crimes. Letitia James, the nation's loudest voice on accountability, caught harboring a fugitive while facing her own bank fraud charges.
Yeah. She's got her bank fraud charges. And now there's word that she has been harboring her niece, who is a fugitive. Well, what kind of crime is she being held for? Now, I can tell you right now, this is not going to sound like that big of a deal. But if you break the law and you are not reporting, you're a fugitive. She's been holding this relative or allowing her to live there, this grandniece, in the house with her three children in Norfolk since 2020. The grandniece now officially listed as an absconder. Always like that word, absconding. Wanted in North Carolina for failing to finish her probation. In other words, she broke her probation, did not complete it, left before she should have. So she needs to come back. You break your probation, you go back inside the cell. And Letitia James, as a New York Attorney General, had to know that. She had to. But, hey, no one is above the law, unless you're Letitia James. So they want her back. They want her to finish her probation, and that means in the North Carolina Department of Corrections. There's a statement, Ms. Thompson was sentenced to probation for misdemeanor convictions for assault and battery and trespassing. So it wasn't just a simple little shoplifting, and has willfully avoided probation supervision. That word direct from the North Carolina Department of Corrections. Sentenced to probation for misdemeanor convictions for assault and battery and trespassing. They were misdemeanor, but now they might raise the charges because you left when you weren't supposed to. I know you've seen that on Law and Order and other crime shows. Well, we're going to release you on bail, but you can't leave without letting us know. Can't leave the area. ROR, released on your own recognizance. In this case, she was sentenced to probation, but she had to stay available. The prosecutor said she is considered a fugitive. She faces arrest if she's located in North Carolina. And did add that her crimes were low level and thus they can't extradite her. Even now they know where she is. But the Attorney General for the state of New York has been helping her hide out, knowing that she is a fugitive from justice. Tell me that story again, that no one is above the law. How does that go? Donald Trump is not above the law. Letitia James apparently is, and everyone in her circle. There's a report from the National Desk on that mortgage document regarding Letitia James and said that it revealed that only she could maintain exclusive control over the property. She's facing 60 years in prison for violating the terms of that agreement on her second home in Norfolk, Virginia. It explicitly states she would maintain exclusive control, which means she is prohibited from renting the home out or give it to another person, control of occupancy or use. But no one's above the law. Really hard to swallow and say that, isn't it? So what did you learn this hour you didn't know when we began this hour? Class will be back in session tomorrow at 6. I expect you to be with us. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.